The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, I Should Be Writing listeners. This is Mer Lafferty, and I'm opening this up with a little bit of information, with a little bit of news. Because of burnout and because of finishing my latest book, I've decided to take June off of most things, including recording and podcasting. You'll be getting this in June 2022 because I recorded it in May and didn't get it up. This kind of thing led to the burnout. But haven't had a chance to talk about the fact that I will be interviewing John Scalzi about his latest book, The Kaiju Preservation Society, for our latest Spoilers Club interview, June 25th, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. If you need to be reminded what the Spoilers Club is, we read the book ahead of time and then talk to the author about why they made decisions. Any topic is up for grabs. We're going to be doing it live and then placing it in the feed later. If you want to watch live and join us, that would be twitch.tv/mightymer. And again, that's June 25th, 2022, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Now let's get to our show. This is I Should Be Writing Season 18, Episode 41, I think. It's live, it's from the beach, it's kind of stream of consciousness. Not a lot of format. But that's what we're doing.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching Doctor.
Hi there, guys. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is a podcast and live stream for wannabe fiction writers, and I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. I'm coming to you live from Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina, which is on the Outer Banks, and actually where the Wright brothers flew their plane. You think it's Kitty Hawk, because Kitty Hawk had the post office. So in order to mail off whoever you let know that you just flew for the first time, they had to do it from the Kitty Hawk mail post office. So that's why Kitty Hawk is considered where the first plane was flown. But it was really Kill Devil Hills. And I know that because we are literally right across from the Wright Memorial. You can see it from the window over there. So, which apparently is where it actually happened. Hey, long line of Lydias and Lee. Oh, so it's, oh, it's a Derrico, not a storm system named Derrico, like we name hurricanes. Okay, I've never heard of that before. That's interesting, except it's terrible, so I'm sorry. Yeah, we just had a thunderstorm. Nothing terrible. I've not had as much of a productive day today as I did yesterday. I've got about 1,300 words? Yes, 1,342 words today. I hope to get at least another 1,500. But I had stuff this morning. I was trying to do research, and then did more research and then got frustrated and then read a short story about what I was trying to do research on, and that helped a little bit. But just mostly got frustrated. And then I got distracted. And then it was lunch. So not as productive as yesterday, but I'm hoping after this I can get some words written, maybe some sleep, and then maybe the storms will be gone and I can go out. This is the good slash bad thing about the writing retreat. It's like there's nothing to do but write. And there's nothing to do but write. But that's the point. That's what I'm here to do. Gwenda said the router was in the basement, which it's not the basement like the basement of that's deep within the ground. You can't dig in the ground here because we're at sea level. So it's just the bottom floor of the house, and it doesn't have a great view of the beach. It's got a view of the porch with the shower on it. So, you know, it's not as sexy as the rest of the house. And that's where I've been doing my writing. But Gwenda said the router was down there, so I moved everything downstairs to see if I could stream from there, and I could not. So I came back up here. No one here had heard of them before now, and now you know all about them. I'm sorry, Lee. Hey, Lutropod. Hey, Todd. Broken Symmetries here. I've been enjoying listening to Star Strider read Shambling Guide to New York City. Excellent. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, we got a... Well... Cosmo... I'll do it myself. I can do that. I'm a big girl. Is that right? Or will that work? There we go. Yeah, Cosmo Quest X is where they're reading Shambling Guide to New York City. The downside is if you're not familiar with that book, she's not allowed to keep the old VODs. So you'll just have to come in wherever she is now. But if you're familiar with the book, you might want to go there and hear her read because she's a really good reader. Oh, it's on her Star Strider channel. Whoops. Thank you. That's embarrassing. Sorry about that. Hopefully that works. Okay, hope that works. Thank you for that, the clarification. One thing I've been doing is trying to make index cards of every scene in the book, and then that helping me identify scenes that may be missing. So I've been kind of focusing on the front quarter of the book the past 2 days, and I need to finish up those index cards and have a better wide view of what I have to do. And it's just, part of it is remembering it is a first draft, and I'm working with an editor on this. So even though when I turned in my last book, I said, I know this needs work. She still kind of came back as, are you okay to be talking about, like, it's going to need extensive edits? I'm like, I know it needs extensive edits. I'm open to it. Let's talk. I think authors as a whole might be having a little bit too much of an ego problem and not want to be edited. While maybe it's my own lack of very sad self-esteem, but I'm fully convinced that the books that I've had that have done well would not have done so well without the editorial advice I've gotten along the way. So, working with an editor, it was a lot. It was a lot of work, but there was a lot of stuff going on between 2019 and last year. So it's kind of hard to say that it was just me having writer's block. There was other stuff was going on that time, you know? Anyway. So, we're working on the index cards, doing a little bit more research. There's like one plot point that I still have not hammered down. And there's also the culmination of all the conflicts at the end that I don't know what's going to happen. But that's a little different. That's okay because I usually write my way into and out of those situations. I'm not too worried about that. That's the kind of thing I can't really plot and outline in my head. I have to come do it as I'm writing, organically type stuff. Hey, Space Valkyries! Hope the retreat's going well. It's going okay. As I was saying, I've spent a lot of time this morning researching and then getting distracted. And then there was lunch. And then I wrote during a storm. And now it's time to stream. So I'm going to stream for a little bit and then go back to writing. But yeah, the weather is helping us stay inside. No. Although I kind of was looking forward to a walk on the beach to try to brainstorm a couple of things. There's just this one bit I can't really get past, and that's bugging me. I need a writing retreat. I'm trying to convince a friend of mine that we need to go on to Monterey. I don't know who needs convincing. Because my friends definitely didn't need convincing. The only negative thought was, oh God, I can't make it. I'm very sad. But they all knew it was a good thing. It's funny, they call a place you go to progress your writing skills as a retreat. Well, it's retreating from everything else in your life. It's retreating from all the other responsibilities you have. And it's retreating from your usual space. Sometimes that's all you need, which we lost during the pandemic. If you had a place to go, you had a library, you had a coffee shop, you had a co-working space, that all went away. Hey, HS Valley. If you go for a walk on the beach with your wife, the whole day is gone, but you do get multiple ideas for stories. Yeah, it went over my head. I'm sorry, Fire Writer. Probably because there was a pun in there, wasn't there? I've been thinking about the way I approach things and just sad, kind of sad that my brain is very literal, and I think that's why puns don't work for me. The writer game that we played on stream. Oh, the writer game. Oh man, I forgot about that one. Okay, yeah, that was not a bad joke. That was just you were referencing something I'd completely forgotten about. Wow. Yeah, that writer game with the sudden fire tornadoes and the danger of drinking coffee unless your wife makes it for you. Yeah, that was a weird game. Sorry, I wish I could remember the name of it. Anyway. But, yeah, the weather's nasty. It's a little cold. And I'm getting kind of single-minded with my focus, which is great for writing, but not great for streaming. Is that what it was called? I don't think it was called Bad Writer. You were just playing somebody who was... It wasn't very realistic in the fact that you gave yourself a month to build a writing career. So there's a lot of, it's kind of a resource management game where you're trying to give yourself time to generate ideas and then to write stories and then to submit stories and track the stories and submit stories to new places. And one of the best things about it is the automatic title generator. So that was fun. Yeah, I don't remember Primalina. If anybody can look it up, I'm not sure. Yes, there were fire. Sometimes when you wanted to go outside to maybe brainstorm or take a walk or something, it could say, "Oh no, there are fire tornadoes outside. Sorry." And that's kind of a lot. And then other times it's just like you walk around your backyard and get one idea. It's yeah, and then it had weird things where if you got yourself coffee, you got too excited, you drank the whole pot, and you cleaned the apartment on a caffeine-fueled rampage, and then you lost the whole day, felt bad about yourself, but while you were cleaning, you did generate ideas that you could write the next day. So It's kind of like every time you took time to generate ideas, it told you something negative, like you feel bad about yourself for not getting writing done, which, you know, is not entirely fair because we have to generate ideas. That's where the stories come from. But anyway, I am 1,300 words into today. I have more index cards to write. And then I'm planning on decompressing with some Switch games tonight. So, yeah. I'm sorry I don't have a whole lot to talk about. I'm just really... I wanted to be able to reach out and say hi and do a show, but honestly, a lot of it's... I'm just so head down thinking about the dang book. I remember Connie Willis talking about how where in the process of writing the book did she name the book different things, like the book and the dang book and the damn book, and then it went more into words that I don't say on this show, but I'll say on the other show. And yeah, I don't know. It's rough. I'm both proud of and scared for this book. I feel a lot of opposite emotions like that while writing. So you do think it was called Bad Writer. Okay. You walked along the beach, you got wet, you had no ideas. Yeah, that's what I was afraid of having today. Hey, kids are asleep. I look much more relaxed. Well, also that's possibly the frumpy clothes and absolutely no makeup and no lighting. That's possibly it. Have a question. Why are some books called speculative fiction and others called science fiction? Is it a marketing thing or a subset? I believe it is absolutely a marketing thing. I sometimes say speculative fiction because in my head, it kind of encompasses all of the genre of science fiction and fantasy and horror. Fantastical stuff that can't really happen right now. Or ever. So, but other times it's just kind of used as a, you know, if you're, I'm sorry, who's the Japanese writer who says he's better than other science fiction writers because his science fiction is actually about something and everything's a metaphor while the rest of us are just writing about robots? Yeah, he writes speculative fiction, pretty sure. There was thunder snow. Yes, there was thunder snow in that game. My mantra today seems appropriate. What's your mantra today, Todd? Are you enjoying the beach too? You can do this. Nice. I like it. Yes, Ishiguro. I look comfy, not frumpy. Okay. Yeah, it's colder than I thought it would be. I brought one sweatshirt and now I have to wear it every day. But we have a washing machine and I have clean shirts to put under it, so it's not that bad, but I'm kind of like, wow, this is getting some wear. I could go out and buy another sweater, but we're at the beach and everything's kind of expensive around here. I mean, I can't even imagine what inflation and supply chain problems have done to the prices of things at the beach, which are already marked up. Ishiguro is a serious writer. He does not write the pew, pew, pew. Exactly. Everything in his book is a metaphor for something in our daily life and is not just pew, pew, pew. Because he's the first one to do that. It was amazing. Value for money right there. Which one? Oh, the sweatshirt I'm wearing over and over again? Are the metaphors for fun? I don't know. My books have metaphors, but they're camouflaged by the BOFA jokes. All right, you got me. I don't know what that is. Yeah, who wants to speculate about a world without pew, pew, pew? Indeed. Indeed. Oh, no, Mer, no. I will explain later. Oh, no. I'm a little frightened. Kids are asleep. Hello, Joseph Aldred. Welcome. Glad to have you here. We are having a kind of low-key kind of stream, usually talking about writing, but I'm at the beach and I'm writing a lot and not doing much else. So my brain is a little bit Swiss cheese focused entirely on my book, but I have a phone. I have a Wi-Fi connection. I might as well do my stream. Bank of America, maybe. That good old weird elitism about the pew-pews or not pew-pews in speculative fiction. Yeah. Yeah, Margaret Atwood also does not like to be one of the pew-pew writers. She's too good for it. And yet, she has guest starred on Zombies Run as herself. Yeah, beach time is nice. We're not doing much on the beach today. It is chilly and stormy. Actually, it's not so stormy at the moment, but it has been raining. And it's kind of keeping us inside. But that's good because we need to write. I say we. My friend Gwenda is actually taking a nap right now. But we have this big old house to ourselves. And tomorrow some more people are coming, which is good. We won't be able to have our own floors to write on anymore. But that's okay. We're just mainly, you know, here to be alone and see pretty things. No dolphins seen today, but again, I did not get to the beach. P.D. James claiming The Children of Men is absolutely not science fiction. Well, what do they think about Frankenstein? Yeah, I don't know. I try not to get into the elitist argument about good science fiction and bad science fiction. And sometimes it's like there's the whole writing for escapism. Gwen and I talked about that yesterday on Ditch Diggers, how we write, you know, we've both written like funny, humorous science fiction, fantasy, or horror books, and we're led to believe ourselves that that's pretty much fluff, escapism, not important, until you find somebody whose day, which would otherwise have been really bad, was brightened by that silly thing they read. And that matters. Ishiguro may not agree, Atwood may not agree, but it makes me happy knowing that my books made somebody laugh or made someone feel seen. You'd occasionally write words in the sand as well as paper or text. No, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not the let's write something or draw something brilliant on the beach and then watch Mother Nature wash it away and nothing is permanent. And isn't there an anecdote about Picasso drawing on the beach? I don't know. In my limited experience, the people who write groundbreaking stories and get salty about their work being called science fiction are often writing really dated, stale sci-fi. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I didn't like one of the more literary books that I was studying in school and kind of pissed off one of my instructors because I thought he was doing one of those, I'm going to tell an important story with this science fiction edge that is so unique. And everybody who's ever written or read science fiction is like, not quite. And yeah. For a fun time, asked my friend M about Cormac McCarthy's The Road. Did not like The Road. What if robots had feelings? Wow, that's sure, bro. Go off. Yeah. Yeah, Yeah, I was really disappointed because one of my favorite writers, Connie Willis, wrote a new intro to The Road for Audible, I think. And so with Connie Willis's stamp of approval, I got it. And I don't even remember why I didn't like it, but it was pretty boring. So is Ishiguro worth reading or not? Are we Mimi? I don't know. I just know that he came out with a story about giants or something, but got really mad when people said it was a fantasy because his giants were actually a metaphor for something else, and so his book was much more important than science fiction. It's only literary if a rich person wrote it for other rich people, possibly. Ishiguro's reading worth reading, sure, if you're into his style. That makes sense. I mean, like I said, Atwood wrote a similar, you know, has had similar comments about her work, whereas her work's kind of weird. It's definitely speculative. It's definitely futuristic. I don't know what she thinks she's writing that the rest of us aren't. Maybe important stuff. Maybe bigger advances. Never read The Road since I dislike being depressed. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I don't know. It's... it's like they want to write in our genre because it's fun. Only they don't want to be seen as one of us, and so they want to let everybody know that as they're sliding down the slide, they're very serious about it. Possibly doing math in their head about their momentum and the angle of the slide and the friction of the genes on the slide to slow them down, that kind of thing. They're doing all that math. They're very serious. It's a very serious slide. While the rest of us are like, slide! Yay! And actually have fun and write fun stuff. So is he not a sci-fi author? I don't know all the other stuff he writes. I just know that he had that one book that he was just saying definitely isn't fantasy. I think you can write with a lush style and still be fun. Look at Kat Valente or Marina Devana Headley. Yeah, you can, definitely. Some of my favorite SF authors write silly stuff. Hey, Tree Lobsters. Never really been one for deep, meaningful, sweeping epics or flowery prose or novels that require an appendix to explain what you just read. Yeah, for me, it's... the real world depresses me, so I want to write escapism. It's all about taste. Stuff I like might bore someone else. I don't want to judge what other people love. I love Tolkien and Robert Howard, but not for everyone. Yep. Yeah, I don't judge other people who like this stuff. I just get mad when writers try to act like they're better because they're not writing the genre they're clearly writing in. That's all. You know, why'd you have to drag me into it? That's really it. What you're saying is putting me and my work down, and you don't even know me. How do you live in the real world? Who wants that? Yeah, the whole, like, let's write a really important book about incest and poverty and win the National Book Award. And I'm just like, I mean, okay, if you're into that kind of story, I mean, but just, I read the plot of Atonement and thought, who the hell would want to read this? It was so depressing. Anyway, if I wanted to read words about people being awful to each other, I'd turn to Twitter. Indeed. Hey, Shauna, good to see you. So anyway, I am Gwenda, by friend who's also here, is a very, very well-read person, and I'm getting like this long list of books to read from her, which of course, you know, I totally need it because I don't have a huge to-be-read stack at home or on my Kindle. Or books I need to blurb that I'm behind on. Oops. Yeah, it's rough. All these, so much good stuff to read. Tell us more about your index cards. Are they taped to the wall with strings running between them? Not yet. Right now, I'm trying to color code them. Each point of view gets a different color, and each, if there's a scene that needs to be written, that one gets a different color to stand out. So hopefully I can balance the POVs by looking at the colors and see what needs to be done left over with the bright yellow ones. They're not on the wall yet. They might be. I don't have any tape. I don't know if I'm allowed to tape stuff on the wall. I don't own this house. But you know, one of the rooms downstairs has like a hole in the wall where clearly something was thrown against it. So I don't think I can do more damage than that with my index cards anyway. But, yeah, so if you guys have any questions, let me know about writing or about... Yeah, that's probably all I can focus on right now. But if you have any questions about writing or anything, let me know. I'm open to them. But I do need to probably get back to writing soon. And I've never done the whole string thing. I think that's kind of like building a mind map in physical form, I guess. And looking like a conspiracy theorist at the same time. Blue tack, yeah. Yeah, but I'd have to go shopping for that. But I gotta go shopping anyway. So I don't know. Light them on fire, that could cause some damage if I need it. Yeah. When I sell foreign rights, do you get royalties as well? Often? Yeah, it's not like a work for hire thing, but I'm not entirely sure because I've never earned out any foreign rights. So foreign rights still to me are represented by like, they're just a one-time payment so far. Do you write your scenes out of order? Yes, definitely. I didn't used to, but then I wrote Six Wakes, which had a lot of, a big long timeline because a lot of flashbacks in hundreds of years ago because these clones are so long lived. And trying to figure out how best to put that book together. Stuff was written out of order. And right now I'm doing another murder mystery that's requiring a lot of questioning, and I have written a lot of the interrogation scenes just as I want to. Just to, you know, as I'm thinking about it, I think, oh, I'll write this person's scene and I'll try to remember to put these clues or red herrings in there. So yeah, Scrivener's helping me do that. Scrivener's an excellent tool. I'm not sponsored. I just love them. But for me, the tactile feeling of writing on the index cards and seeing them laid out also helps out a lot when trying to structure my book and get a sense of it. How many sunrises? Unfortunately, yeah, the sun rises around 5:30 and it woke me up yesterday. So yes, it was not like glorious because it was cloudy, but it was light enough to wake me up. Yeah, that's the East Coast thing. We get the nice sunrises and you can watch the sunset over the dunes on the Wright Memorial, which is not that bad. Definitely not. I had a failure. I entered a contest and was told recently I did not make the long list. Oh, I'm so sorry. That sucks. If it makes you feel any better, I recently applied for a podcasting grant and, it was implied I made it past a couple of consideration periods, but did not make it to the final. It's a good feeling, isn't it? But yeah, I'm sorry, but you know, Good job entering the contest. Don't let it stop you. Definitely not. All right, Gwenda was right yesterday. The Pelicans are pretty nice. I don't know where the cartoon, like, white and yellow pelican idea comes from, because ours are all brown. Are there white and white pelicans with, like, big old yellow beaks and throats? Or is that all fabricated by Disney and Tom and Jerry and stuff? Scalpel by the same people as Scrivener is really helping me do the index things on the computer. Yeah, Shards, I've heard that, but I unfortunately am one of those people that I need to be scribbling around with paper and pen. I've tried multiple mind map tools, and it just doesn't work for me. I need to be making a big mess with lots of scraps of paper that I can lose. I didn't say it was the best. I just said that's the best way to get my brain moving. Those cartoons lied to me. I'm so sorry, Longline and Lydia. Hey, Daniel. You're very late and I'm kind of tired, so I'm not going to be going too much farther or longer. These days, paper and pen intimidate me. I feel weirdly shy, I guess. Interesting. Yeah, I got a beautiful fountain pen for Christmas. I'd never had anything like this. And I was worried that I would treat it like a really pretty journal and be too afraid to touch it. But it is like the opposite. It's so nice to write with. And I bought so many pretty inks that I really like using it and making notes now, because that pen is just so much fun to write with. And okay, so the yellow and white pelicans are further south, like Florida. Okay. Yeah, I know, but I know mostly North and South Carolina beaches. Wish I had the space for more physical notes, note-taking, but sadly, teeny one-bedroom apartment. Oh, yeah, that would do it. Have you thought about, like, a digital thing that's supposed to act like a notebook? Like the Rocket Notebooks? On the pricier side, you've got the Apple Pencil or any sort of tablet and stylus. And you get the feeling of writing. You can even get, like, tablet screen protectors that have a tiny bit rough to feel more like a sheet of paper than a pane of glass. You know, Numbers Ninja does a lot of art on their iPad and got the paper feeling cover to really help out with just the feeling of illustration on paper. But that might help. I did get a Rocket Notebook once. It still didn't make me feel like I was working with paper and pen, but I'm thinking if you are strapped for time, not time, space like that, that might be a way you can approach it. Maybe just bite the bullet and ask paper and pen out on a date. The worst they can say is no to combat the shyness. Catwood, you've got all the answers. That's great. Left work early because of stubborn headache. Oh no, I'm sorry, Daniel. That sucks. I have so many beautiful notebooks and do not deserve them. Yep. Same here. Smooth like butter. I love my fountain pen. Yeah, I used to like fountain pens, but I didn't think I would like the ones with the reservoirs. And I don't know why it feels so much different than now that I have one that has a reservoir and I can buy different inks. And it's, the end result is really not much different than snapping a new ink cartridge in, but for some reason it feels very different to me. And so it's possibly just the novelty of using it that makes me so happy. Kevin raves about his Remarkable 2. Yes, Kevin has talked to me about fountain pens, yes. And white pelicans with orange beaks in Alberto. it's not a hard word to say, Alberta, Canada, during the spring and summer. That's weird. They must just fly completely over us and not stop to say hi. Fountain pens are like sports cars. They're too fun to use to pass up any opportunity to get them out and use them. Yeah. Find fountain pen easier on the wrist since you don't have to press down like a ballpoint pen. The ink flows easily. Yes, that's actually true. I know that I've heard a orthopedist say that. That if you want to not put so much pressure into your hand, a fountain pen kind of forces you to have a lighter touch, which is better for your hand and wrists. Pen and paper is comforting to me while planning. Same. Hey, Tasha, good to see you. I need a Minority Report style VR organizer. Well, you know, Tree Lobster, sometimes you've got to... Is that something you can build with your 3D printer? It probably is. I know it's not VR, but you can make it work. I believe in you. Forget computers and notebooks, just scream your stories into the void. And wait for the void to scream back. Thank you, Meerkat. That's a good point. Yeah, on my way down, my husband, before I left, my husband was asking me if I would kind of like start early on my book and like dictate chapters in the car. And I'm like, oh God, no, no, my brain does not work like that. I can talk on a podcast, no problem. But actually saying the words as my brain is trying to write them, I don't think anything has made me fully understand the feeling of the language part of your brain connected to your mouth and the language part of your brain connected to the hands. I don't know if the part of the brain is different or the pathways are different, but there's differences there. And I don't feel that more than when I think about just the idea of dictating a story. And I know that Kevin J. Anderson, I think, does that. But I can't. Not at all. Yeah, probably not great for safe driving, too. Well, I mean, if you're just talking. I don't know, depends on how much you get into the dictation. While I don't... I think when you see doctors dictate, they're not looking at anything. They're just kind of like head down and talking. So it's possible that you can't actually focus on, say, the road and other cars and keep up your narration of your own book as it comes out of your head. Is it possible to hook a TV to a computer and use it as a massive monitor? Is it possible overall or possible? Yeah, I mean, it's possible. That's HDMI cables. That's what they do. I haven't thought about doing it here. Yeah, there is the whole, like, random expletives yelling at other cars, that too. He took her face in his hand, and then he said, "Damn it! Would you fucking merge?" I'm not supposed to say that word on this podcast. Okay, one F-bomb at 3:55. Okay. That's not useful. Oh well. Sorry about that, but that doesn't happen very often here. Yeah, I think I should probably wrap up and get back to writing. If anybody has any other questions, let me know now. I'll give you a little bit of time. And then I'll try to come back on Thursday and say hi again. I'll have more people. They might join me on the podcast. That was so romantic. Yes, indeed. I think I've got a pair of Google VR goggles around here somewhere, a couple of out-of-date gloves, speech recognitions, and a lot of code. Well, I mean, that's like You're halfway there. Yay writing and yay more people, yes. All kinds of adapters at Best Buy, yes. Seven favorite words, we will fix it in post-production, yes. Hey, Hildy Eric, yeah, you just, we'll get that on the next draft. Podcast party, yes, I hope. I hope I get the words done before the podcast, because I did yesterday, but that was at 5. Right now I have to close down this and go back to work, so that's not as fun. And DM Jazzy Ann's playing The Witcher. Primaline, I just want to say I was diagnosed with ADHD at 34, and you facilitated that. Thank you. That's really good to hear, Primaline. I'm really hoping that you can now get the proper help to help your brain work in ways that work better for you. Even if it's just cognitive therapy or if it's meds or whatever, but I hope that that diagnosis will help you moving forward. So I'm really glad you talked to somebody about that. Going back to work because you should be writing and kick me out. Yeah. I haven't heard that before, Catwood. Can you believe it? Like, you have to also write. Have a good one. Bye, Kids Are Asleep. Yeah, you should watch Kids Are Asleep tonight. I believe tonight is Mass Effect night, is it not? Yes, if you enjoy watching very fun person play very fun games, then follow Kids Are Asleep. She streams Monday through Thursday nights at 9. Meds are great so far. Good. Yeah, it's just, you just got to figure out. I was talking to Gwenda this morning about how YA treats medication for mental issues, and it's pretty bad. Because a lot of them treating something with medicine as a negative. And when you say, I had to increase my dose of whatever, that's also a stigma, a negative thing you don't want to say. No one wants to ever hear, I need more medicine. But I think that stigma keeps kids, especially, from getting help. And that's awful. So if you need medication and that helps you, take the medication. Oh, Citadel DLC time. Yes, I heard you talking about that last night. That's exciting. So yeah, we're going to raid DM Jazzy Hands because he's always delightful. He's playing Witcher 3. That is not talking about writing, but hopefully you'll have some fun in his stream. I will be back on Thursday around 3. And, you know, if you're new to me, my name is Mer Lafferty. I'm Mighty Mer on Twitch, Twitter, and Merverse is where you can find me, my website, and you can find I Should Be Writing on pretty much any podcatcher you have. Where it's usually more structured than this, but I'm at the beach, and I'm streaming with my phone. So I have... I'm very limited right now. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Doctor.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.